Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. It's kind of a stormy day here in the South. I know a lot of people are having the same experience across the country where life is changing. The weather is changing. It's becoming colder, grayer. There'll be a lot of storms, but a lot of people are traveling at this time of year to be able to see loved ones for the holiday. So it's kind of a point of transition. Today, what we will be speaking about is grief, a lot of transition. A lot of people, this is their first holiday missing loved ones, or this may be a holiday which others are just not feeling well and things are just changing in their lives. This is a really definite topic that has hit home for myself this past week. I have several friends, more than 10 now, that have lost their parents or they've lost someone else in their family, and many have been sudden, many have been coming along, but even so, it still is a loss. So today we're going to be speaking about grief and how do you get through it. But you have to experience it. You can't just shut it off and say, I'm just going to put it on the shelf. You know, I don't want to touch on that. I'm going to be good. Everybody wants me to be strong. Don't cry. Don't do this. Don't do that. And everybody has an opinion. But really when it comes down to it, we really need to be able to feel in our heart what's going on and know and be able to move through, because there's always going to be another day. It's always going to be okay. And there's always going to be another sunrise. I had recently saw someone had posted a short comment that they were dragging something from somebody else's page or YouTube or something, whatever it was. But the person had said, and she was like in her early 50s, and she said, you know, you really have to figure out how to have a loss and how to want to live after that. And I thought, want to live? What does that really mean? Because you really are living, and you don't just have a loss and you just give up, because then two lives are lost. So really what we will be talking about today is about grief and loss, but really still having your life, because you really do have a life. And to let that all go and not be able to see what a gift it is every day to be able to get up and be able to enjoy life for that day, maybe that's something we just need to shine a little bit more light back on. So today my guest is Vishan Marie Sarkazan. Oh, my goodness, I ruined her name. Sorry, she will correct me. She will correct me, but her book is Finding Joy After Loss, My Seven-Step Journey of Transforming Grief into Joy. And that's really important. It's not about taking grief and saying, I'm going through it. Okay, now it's gone. Or I'm going through it and, you know, I'm going to set it over there. It's transforming it, using it as a tool to continue to keep going. So I'd like to welcome Vishan to the show, and please correct me. You can say your name. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no problem. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, and it is Vashon Sarkazan. So
I'm sorry. Sometimes, you know, my mind has got this thing, you know, where I hear it and I understand it and I remember, but it's like, okay, but I was on another train, you know, I forgot already.
No, it's a mouthful. I've heard my name a million different ways, so I don't really pay attention anymore.
I think we just, I just call it as labels, you know. You know, I just say to everybody, just be present in the moment. It's okay. It's not, we're not so focused. Let's just be with where we are and, you know, talk about how things are today, like we always start with the weather, and we say, and how does that feel for everybody? Because not everybody is in the same space today. I mean, you've written a lot about the holidays in your book, and, you know, things aren't the same for everybody, and you'll say, it never happened, or I just passed by it. And, you know, having an event in your life, moving through a loss and grief, but being able to live again. Because I so much believe that, you know, life is a treasure every day. So I don't. Let's just start at the beginning. So I know you lost your husband early, and maybe you could just tell us how your story began. That would be great.
Well, sure. My husband did pass away almost 6 years ago, and he was in the natural health profession. And prior to his death, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And so for 3 years, he fought a really hard battle trying to, beat this disease. And unfortunately, he lost the battle and 3 years later passed away. And that was in January in 2008. And like I said, he was in the natural health profession, so it really shattered him, not only professionally but spiritually and emotionally, because he dealt with a lot of clients who also were suffering from cancer and was able to help them cure their disease. And so it was especially challenging for him to have this diagnosis and then not be able to heal himself. And he tried to marry Eastern medicine as well as Western healing approach to curing the disease, and he also traveled all over the world trying to find answers, both spiritually and physically, and like I said, passed away almost 6 years ago.
I find so many times, myself being in the healthcare for over 30 years, and, being mm-hmm. in the alternative healthcare now and natural healing, so many times people come to us because they believe that they're at the end. I've tried everything else. You've got to fix me. And mm-hmm. when really life is just I try to explain to them that life is a passage and we all have our dings at different times. It's just which one you might get. And because, it's not, we all have to go at some point. And we would like to think that we know more and we're able to take better care of ourselves and we'll all be good, but events do happen, and it is such a, I call them dings to the heart. If any of the listeners have listened on the other shows, they've heard me say that is, dings to the heart. Your mother ends up with breast cancer and you think, why? I've helped her. I've gone through this. I've done everything with her. Why is that happening? And then you start to question yourself, So I'm sure he probably questioned, himself as, how can I not, how do you find your way through this when you want to help everybody and you are, but then you can't help yourself? And I'm sure that's such a hard thing to have happen.
It was, and like I said, it shattered him, professionally, spiritually, and emotionally. And, I don't know if he ever was able to accept it. I mean, I think towards the end, at some point you have to let go and you have to mm-hmm. Stop beating yourself up. The one thing is that his mother took DES when she was pregnant with my husband, and they later found out that caused ovarian and prostate cancer. And so we feel like, that probably was a contributor to his diagnosis and him getting prostate cancer. But it was definitely a challenge. And it was a challenge to our family. And we had a small child at the time. He was 7 years old. He just turned 8 when my husband passed away. And we lived what we thought was, a healthy lifestyle. We were, he especially was helping other people. We thought that we were doing everything right. And I guess, you just never expect that you're going to be dealt this hand of cards. It was challenging.
And I think we all have to realize, too, that we're human beings when we're doing this work. And that's a really hard thing to choke on, is that you're not any different than anybody else. You're all the same. It's just what we all share. we all have losses and we all have grief. And whether we might be a doctor, you know, we might be a dentist, we might be a lawyer, whatever. You know, lawyers get in trouble. Doctors get sick. You know, health guru
Nobody's
people.
Nobody's immune.
Right. And that's so, so important to remember because, you know, this is just a tiny side off of the topic, but, you know, people are going to doctors nowadays and they're saying, that doctor didn't fix me. He didn't give me what I wanted. You know, he didn't this, he didn't that. The doctor is human too. You know, they only know or can do what they can do. And then it's really up to, you know, yourself and be able to find somebody else. You know, it's just like, there is no ultimate God to be able to keep you here. You just have to go through your path to get there. And how hard that is to think that, you know, a doctor can't save me or a guru can't save me, you know. But we all wish for the best. It's just how we can go through that. So I really think, though, sometimes, too, when events happen, it's what you take from it. And I know you've taken a lot of from that and learned and were able to, you know, reconnect with yourself and your family and your community. So that is our focus today on the show, is how do you go through that grief but come out on the other side? So can you tell us a little bit about how you got through that and then into the next path?
Okay. Well, you know, like I said, he passed away almost 6 years ago in January, and needless to say, you know, it was a roller coaster ride afterwards. I, you know, even when, you know, he was, you just never expect that you're going to lose somebody dear to you. And I don't think I really even accepted that he had passed away until he had actually passed away. And then, of course, I went through tremendous grief and sorrow, and it was a very challenging time. Especially the first 2 or 3 years after his passing, and you know, everything changes. You know, you're starting all over, and you're trying to build a new identity and try to get through the day and go back to work and raise your child. And there's so many challenges and just, you know, things that you took for granted, like preparing a meal on a daily basis, became, you know, such a chore. And I'll admit, I was miserable. I mean, I just lost my best friend, my husband, my partner, and the father of my son. And I really was very, you know, depressed and upset and sad and angry and went through so many different emotions. And with time, I think I started to really get scared because I was wondering, you know, am I ever going to be happy again, or am I destined to be miserable the rest of my life? And I really started questioning, is it possible to engage in life again and to have a fulfilling, happy, joyful life after you just lost somebody really dear to you? And I really started asking these questions of myself and praying and hoping that I could, I'm wondering, really just wondering, was it possible to start over? And I think my incentive was, impetus to all this was, again, I was raising this amazing child by myself, and I knew that he would follow my example, and I knew that I had to be a teacher to him, and I knew that that I had to live my life again in order that he could live his life fully. And also, my husband was such an amazing healer, and he was very well known in the alternative health community. I knew that he would not want me to be miserable the rest of my life, and I just felt like I have to do something so that his legacy carries on. I have to do something. Something good has to come out of this tragedy. And I don't know if I consciously had those thoughts at the time that I started writing. Probably not, but I think in the back of my mind, on some subconscious level, I was thinking these things. And I'm not a writer by profession. Something I really don't have a lot of comfort in doing, but it was several years after his passing, and it was just before Thanksgiving. So this is very timely that we're talking about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just before Thanksgiving, and I was really dreading Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving was his last meal. And I had just gone, I say this, I write about this in my book, but I had just gone to the hairdresser, and she was telling me she was so excited about Thanksgiving. It was her favorite meal. She was having 20 people over for dinner, and she was just going on and on and on. And I was sitting there in the chair thinking, am I ever going to feel that way about Thanksgiving ever again? And for that matter, am I ever going to feel good about the holidays? Mm-hmm. And so I decided to start writing because I just had to figure out what just happened to our family. What did we go through? I had to find some sort of logical reason for what we had experienced. And I just started writing and writing and writing and writing and wrote about our story. And every night when I got home from work and after I put my son to bed, I just probably spent 1 to 2 hours at the computer, you know, just writing our story. And after about 6 months, I put that down, and that's probably when I really started questioning, you know, am I ever going to be happy again? And I had what I call my epiphany. I was driving home from work one day, and I was going through this soul searching, really trying to figure out, can I be happy? Can I find joy in my life? Can I really live a fulfilling life after losing, you know, my husband? And I had this thought as I was driving home from work, if people can go on a diet and lose weight, or if they mm-hmm. can, set some goals in their life and follow a series of steps to achieve their goal, can they achieve it? Is it possible to follow a series of steps and find joy after losing a loved one? And it was just this flash of a thought. I really was not. I think I was listening to the radio, you know, and it was like all of a sudden the flash came to me, and I got so excited, turned the radio off, ran home, and started writing the second chapter of the book. And interestingly enough, I had been keeping a list of things that I was doing. It was sort of my way of proving to myself that I was okay, that I was engaging in life, that I was doing things that mattered. Simple things like going back to work and starting a vegetable garden and exercising. But again, when you're grieving, those things are huge. You know, it's like just getting out of bed is a chore. So, so I looked at what I was doing, and I wanted to come up with a series of steps, and I wanted to make sure that this wasn't just Vashon's list, but it was a list of steps that anybody could follow, and there would be a spiritual, a physical, or an emotional transformation when you followed any of those steps in your life. And it could be you're doing it because you're suffering from grief, or it could be just because you want to find more joy in your life. And so I came up with 7 steps, and I started researching them and wrote about them in the book, and that sort of became the foundation of the book.
I think it's so important to what you said in the beginning about when you sat down and you just started writing things out, you know, just, mm-hmm. you know, for the 6 months to be able to keep writing and writing, whether it went somewhere or it went in print or anything, it was just the idea of releasing and putting down your thoughts, because those have to go someplace. You know, you need to give them a home. You need to know that they're important. How you felt about losing someone or not being able to have someone when you turned around, or to have someone to pick up the phone or someone to text or someone to even, I guess maybe to just say, how are you today, you know, and how hard that is to be able to not have that all the time. How did you feel when that happened? And I'm sure you've written all of those words in so many different ways and forms to be able to make it count for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's when you lose somebody dear to you. I don't know if I read about this in my book, but there's something about you know, being in partnership with another person, there's this sort of this unspoken, like, energy where you hold each other. You know, there's a space that's created in your home and in your relationship where, like you said, there's just sort of this unspoken knowing that you're there for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when that's gone, it's devastating because you have nothing to hold on to. You know, there's nothing that you can lean on to. Even if you have family and friends and loved ones around you and you have your children, and I think when you're in partnership and then you lose that, it's really devastating and very challenging to move through that space and readjust to that new space that you're in. It takes a really long time to get through that.
I think it's also, we always talk on the other shows about human beings as energetic bodies and spirits, and when you really have that other person that you're able to, we always talk about human touch, and it is physical touch, but it's also, as you said, energetic touch. It's that space that you hold because you can just sense it. It's just there, or you can just know and it's there, or you can just touch and it's there, and how very important that is. And I think even a lot of people these days, you know, they'll say, well, I don't have a significant other. I don't have anyone else. I feel alone. I think that aloneness is what you're missing, is this energy of another being, not necessarily a physical person all the time to go, let's go run around, or let's go here, or let's go there to do that. You're just missing that energetic piece of you that would connect to another energetic being, and how important that is, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it almost feels like, you know, you're running your car with a spark plug that's going to go out, you know. It's
mm-hmm.
going to get you where you got to go, but it
mm-hmm.
just, it's a little bit rougher ride, you know. And sometimes, you know, it'll backfire, and sometimes it'll misfire, and sometimes it's okay. So I really think mm-hmm. it's that energetic touch that you're talking about. It's, you know, it's that, if you think of yourself as just like the car, you know, the spark plugs, it's just this little tiny thing that you're just needing to just make that world go round, you know, and how important
mm-hmm.
that is.
Exactly.
You know, I think on your book, so your 7 steps, I think, is trying to find that again, because we've spoken many times on this show. I've spoken about how to get that energetic back. And we
mm-hmm.
look nowadays, you know, with everybody into New Age, these are fad words of others, but New Age or gurus or greenies or whatever. But they say, oh, you drink, you know, let's all drink the green drinks, and that's great, and we're getting more energy. Or let's go out and look at nature, and we're getting more energy. Or let's go hug a tree, we're getting more energy. So in a
mm-hmm.
way, we as humans now are starting, we're craving to bring that energy back into our spark plug, but we're not finding it from other people or we're just trying to bring it into ourselves, you know. And I think when you talk about how you were eating better, you know, as one of your steps, or exercising or connecting with nature, that was that concept, bringing those little pieces back in to get that spark plug to work better. So can you share a little bit about your 7 steps and how you
sure.
even got started on that first one?
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, I think each of the 7 steps were me trying to find that connection again, because I felt, you know, I had lost my connection to myself. I mean, not only had I lost my connection with my late husband, but I had lost my connection to myself. And I knew that in order for me to find joy again, to feel joy, to express joy, to live joy, that I had to find that connection. And so each of these steps helped me to get back to that connection. And the first step is spiritual connection. And now in my book, and I won't go through all the details, but
mm-hmm.
I do have sub-steps within each of the steps. But the main, I'll discuss with you just the main steps. And the first one is spiritual connection. And I knew that I needed to, one of the ways to get my connection back was through some form of spiritual connection. And about a year after my husband passed away, I joined a meditation group. I had meditated off and on for many years, but I never really had found a strong connection to it until after my husband passed away. And I learned a technique of meditation that I found to be very effective. And so daily, if not twice a day, I meditated on a regular basis. And there were other things that I did to also have that spiritual connection, like connecting with nature, going outside, walking, and being with other people. So there's many ways that people can find some form of spiritual connection, and maybe it's with a religious organization. I think really the key is finding something that supports your spiritual being, whatever that might be. So that's the first step. The second step was gratitude, or is gratitude, and that's was probably the hardest step for me to engage in, because I was not grateful for anything at this point in my life other than my son. And I knew that if I wanted to feel joy again in my life, that I had to somehow find, I had to find gratitude in my life again.
Don't you think that relates back to what I was saying in the beginning about really, you know, that point that it is still your life too, and, you know, to be grateful that the sun is coming up the next day, that you have another chance. You have another chance, you know, each and every day to think you have another chance for your life today, because as we've said, you know, you don't want to lose two lives in the process, you know, one in grieving and one that has passed. You just don't want to do that, because that's really not being very grateful for your life that you've had.
Well, and that was, again, I don't think I mentioned that, but that was part of my fear, is that I'm either going to go crazy with grief, or I somehow I have to get myself out of this and find, you know, I have to live a full life. There's really only one choice, and especially having a son, that I had to find the answers for myself in order to live a fulfilling life. And gratitude was a big part of that. And so every morning, every evening, you know, upon arising and going to bed, I just repeated in my head, and then eventually I started a gratitude journal. I would say, I'm grateful for my son, I'm grateful for my son. And literally, that's all I did for 2 weeks. And the interesting thing is, when you practice gratitude, is your perspective starts to change. And I was amazed at the transformation that it created in me, because it enabled me to start looking at life differently. And instead of feeling, for example, you know, bitter that I had to go back to work, I started feeling really grateful that I had a job that supported me and provided our family with income and stability. And I started seeing that I was grateful for my car that got me to work, and I was grateful for my friends and family. But I have to tell you, I was not feeling any of these things before I started this exercise. So when my vision was very narrow, and with gratitude, like I said, my perspective and my vision started to open, and I started seeing the world differently. And when your vision changes and your perspective changes, your whole life transforms.
And it's hard to come to that point, too. You did have a child, which did help, but a lot of people really don't have any people around to help
right.
them. So, right. you know, your book with the 7 steps is really a good idea for many people. A lot of times, if you've been in deep grief for a long time, maybe like as you had with the years, there could be others that are having it for many years, too, and their whole life has fallen away, and whoever was close to them or whoever was supporting them at the time has moved away and not bothered anymore. So there are times when all of that does go away and you're like, okay, there's nothing left but me. What do I need to do now? And I think at that time is when you have to say, I have to do it because the sun is coming up and it's my life too. And how hard that is to be able to do that.
Right.
You know, especially the elderly these days, you know, how do they keep pulling through, you know?
Fortunately, and I don't know if it's just because of my exposure to or my experience, but there are more and more support groups for widows and for people who've lost loved ones. And I think that, you know, at the time of my husband's passing, there was an organization locally for children, and that was about it. But since then, there have been several organizations in our area that have popped up that are here to support people who have gone through some sort of crisis in their family. And I think that especially, and churches provide that as well, but I think it's especially important to be part of some sort of support system where you're not feeling alone, that you're not by yourself, you're not going through this by yourself, especially if you don't have children or family close by.
I think it's fabulous. Right, because they do move on, and it's fabulous nowadays to have the internet because all you have to just Google is your thoughts anymore, and you'll get an answer, you know?
Right.
It's almost like a different part of your conscious, you will find what you're seeking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you just Google down how to grieve or how to have grief or how to move from grief or what to do after a death or, you know, any of those groups of words, you come up with answers or sources and it'll take you on a train ride and you just find some of those answers. But in your book is a definite, you know, it's a train ride. It takes you from step to step to step. And as you gain more strength from the first or the second, then you go to the third, you know, and it will take you where you need to be. And I really think the destination you talk about in your book, I think the destination is that you're living again and how important that is. So how you get from A to B. And, you know, if you falter, you go back to A, you know, and you just keep going back and forth. You keep resonating. You don't have to be perfect. You know, my famous thing is I always say to everybody is welcome to the perfect life of imperfect, you know? Because if you believe you're perfect and you've got all the answers and you will live forever, have at it, you know, because that isn't what it is. So I know your steps, I think, were really great. But, you know, you also talked about even eating in here, you know, about diet and nutrition. And it's so important these days when you look at people after a loss, they're like, well, I'm not cooking, I'm going to eat fast food, or I just don't feel like making a piece of meat anymore because there's not anyone else to eat it, and what do you do with it? And how can you even come out of that space? I know you've had to experience that, I'm sure, because with just a child, it's not like you're sitting down to Sunday dinner, right?
Right. Well, I have a strong foundation in health, partly because my husband was in the natural health practice. But I will say after my husband passed away, I just ate whatever I wanted, which was not the norm for me. And I probably, by most standards, probably was eating a pretty healthy diet by other people's standards. But for me, it was pretty bad. But probably a year or a little bit after a year, I knew that food was such an important part of my life, and I knew that in the past that food supported me, you know, in many ways, and I knew I had to get back to what I knew was important to me, and I knew I needed to eat well to support my body physically and my mind emotionally and even my spirit, you know, spiritually. So I did change. We were macrobiotic, and so it was a pretty, reflecting on it now, rigid diet in many respects. But I no longer eat a macrobiotic diet, but I do follow a lot of the principles, just eating organic foods and whole grains and vegetables and trying to eat locally produced vegetables. And I started juicing more and supplementing my diet with vitamins, and just because you don't always get everything you need from the food that you eat. And I started feeling better. I mean, I started juicing on a regular basis. I started eating more raw food. I live in Florida, so it's easier to eat fresh vegetables and raw foods. But it made such a huge difference in how I was feeling, like I said, both emotionally and physically. And I think when the same goes for exercise. I started exercising as well. That's another one of my steps. When I started exercising again, because I had stopped exercising, I started feeling stronger in my body. And I think when you feel stronger, not only by eating healthy and by exercising, it supports you and you feel stronger emotionally. And so all of those things help support you through the grieving process. And I know they sound like simple principles, but they're so powerful in their results and the intention that they have.
I think I think they sound simple to some people, but to you and I and to others that know, your body and your brain need certain vitamins and nutrients to be able to function. And if they're functioning at either a very stressful level or at a subnormal level, you can get things like depression. You can have things like anxiety. You can start having other medical conditions. You can start having fears, thinking that you're sick. When you're not taking care of yourself, after someone's passed away, you could say, my goodness, I don't feel well. Now what? What am I waiting for? Is it like that other shoe going to drop? Mm-hmm. And when you start to learn to take care of yourself and eat and give yourself the nutrients, a lot of these fears and things go away because your brain is working better. It's not riding on panic. It's not riding on stress and trying to get things to work when they don't work right. But then also when you're exercising, I think of it as, hey, I really don't feel like exercising today, but hey, you know what? When I'm coming out, I turn around and say, I did it. I can do it. And then when it's time for the next day, say, oh, I really don't want to, but I can do it. And then when you come out and you say, I did it. So learning as you did with the gratitude, each day could be with the exercising is, I can do it. I don't want to, but I can. So maybe right. Do I want to or do I can? So if I can, why don't I? And changing some vocabulary. And that's right. So, I think changing vocabulary after a loss is so important too, because you say, no, or I don't want to, or it's not going to work. You tend to have the fatalistic more words choices versus the hopeful word choices. Mm-hmm. Have you ever found that, like in your word choice around a child? I mean, you have to be careful there because you're not going to say, I don't want to, I'm not going to, it's not going to work all the time with a child, right?
Right, right. Exactly. And, I knew when I had decided to make some of these changes that I couldn't do this all by myself. I mean, I was not really... part of me was able to make some of the changes, but I also knew that I needed support. So fortunately, I had already had a membership at a gym, but the last thing I wanted to do was go to the gym and work out. So I hired a professional trainer to work with me and help me get back into shape. And I knew, since I had an appointment with this person, I had to be accountable to this person. And so I used her for, maybe 2 months. And then once I got back in the rhythm of things, I knew I could do it by myself. So sometimes I think if you admit that that you need some support and even health, even though I was going to make some changes and I was going to eat healthier, that I needed some supplements to help me to support my body. So I worked with a natural health practitioner locally in town, and he helped me to, you know, get my adrenal glands back into shape and, you know, support me in other ways so that I could support my body not only by the foods that I was eating, but also some, you know, like you said, some nutritional supplements to help support me as well. So I think admitting that you can't do it alone and you
right.
need some help, especially, you know, you need some support is sort of essential, because I think a lot of us tend to think that, oh, we can do it on our own.
And it's very hard to be able to admit you need help, but also to find the right person. You know, even after this is slighted, this is just something simpler and not as grand in life as an event as a death, but even when people lost a lot of their homes and their jobs and what they believed was important to them, a lot of them slid into that pattern also. And then when they did have a loss, it just took them out like nobody's business, you know, and
right.
it really put them on the floor. And when that happens, you know, you look around and you say, all these people around me are in the same position. What do I do now? And you really don't have any support. And it's hard to find support when you keep looking to people and you say, can you listen? Can you help me? Can you hear me? And I think for someone to say, can you hear me? And everybody is saying, I don't care. I'm too busy. I got to go. I heard it before. What's the difference? And to be able to get past all of that and find someone, you may be on your 10,000th person asking for help, or you may be on your second. But
right.
the concept of still keep asking, still keep looking, still keep searching for someone to say, can you hear me, is the most important.
Right. Well, finding a good doctor is, I think, essential. I mean, one of the suggestions I make in the book is to get a good physical after, you know, going through a loss, because your body has changed, and you also want the comfort of knowing that you're physically okay and there's nothing wrong with you, because that was my fear also, that what if something happens to me, my son will be left alone. So I needed to know that I was in good shape as well. And I went through a number of doctors. All they wanted to do was put me on antidepressants once they found out that my husband had passed away. And I didn't want to do that because I wanted to go through my grief. I wanted to do what I needed to do to heal, and I didn't want to mask what I was feeling. But I also wanted a good doctor that would help support me in my loss in a natural way, and I was fortunate to find somebody. But it took me about a year to find the right person.
And to know that you can go through people to find that, you know, and that is okay, that is a normal process. You're not going to just land. Some people do land on the first one, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
the majority of the people don't land on the first one, you know.
Right.
And it may take you several people. And to have the courage to keep looking is more the answer, too. I think you and I are both saying is keep looking, keep searching. Mm-hmm. There's someone there.
Right.
And I think, too, when you find a doctor that will connect with you, what you find, too, is you know that little ding out of your heart that might be letting out the energy of the spark plug, it kind of like plugs that hole. So that's like a first start. You know, you start plugging some holes. And once you're plugging
right.
them all, then the spark plugs will go good, you know? You know, maybe
mm-hmm.
there was just water leaking in there or something, and you think, hey, you know, let's find someone that will connect, you know, someone that will hold it together. And that's someone that, you know, it really does help a lot, I think, as you've said.
Right.
Well, we have about 5 more minutes. Could you give us, like, what your closing thoughts, where you are now? Because I know you really are doing a lot of work within communities now, correct? Are you still doing
that?
I do.
I mean, professionally, I'm an urban designer, so I do volunteer work in my community, and I'm engaged in several organizations locally. But what I'm also doing is, you know, I do have a website, and I'm putting together an online course to help people walk through the 7 steps, because I realize that my situation is a little unique. I think, you know, I've met just because I do a lot of lecturing and give presentations on the seven steps, I think sometimes people feel, especially when they're grieving, they feel a little overwhelmed with, you know, doing anything. And so I'm developing an online course to help people walk through the steps just to make it easier so that they have a mentor, they have somebody who's gone through this, and it can help guide them go through the seven steps. And that happened because I started getting a lot of questions on the steps, even though they're simple. A lot of people, you know, really didn't know how to practice forgiveness or gratitude, and they wanted more information. So I'm excited.
Isn't that something, how people don't, they hear the words, they see it on the paper, but it still isn't resonating, you know? And I think going back to the beginning of our conversation, I think it's still looking for that human energy to input. Do you think, you know, asking you for help, looking at you and saying, I don't understand. They really just want to be heard so that you could help them understand.
Exactly.
You know, and that is so hard to find, you know. And but also when you're working, I'm sure when you work as an urban designer, I mean, you had to be out in nature and everything, and you had to know what was going on in your communities. So you're back into the flow again, and now being able to help others. That's very important to be able to experience. So you didn't deny your life. You stepped right back into it.
Right, and I think some of my most rewarding work right now, other than, you know, working on this online course, it is engaging in the community. And I'm fortunate to live in, you know, Orlando, Florida, and we have some great neighborhoods, and I'm involved in some beautification projects and some streetscape improvement projects that I do outside of work, only because I'm passionate about the neighborhoods that I live in, and I'm passionate about wanting to improve the community that we live in, to make our environment a healthier place to live. And health, you know, health is such a big topic, and there's so many ways to improve the health of a community. And so I'm lucky that I am able to participate in that and make a difference locally. And I think, you know, that is one of my sub steps is doing volunteer work, because I think when you engage in your community in whatever form that might take, it helps you get outside of yourself. It helps you feel good because you're giving back, you're making a difference, you're helping people, you're engaging with your environment, with your community. And that is very rewarding. And there's so many opportunities and ways that people can do that.
And all of that just seems to plug up those little holes in the heart, you know, gets everything going better. You know, if you can go out and you can watch something grow, you can think life's got to be okay. Life's got to be good, and it will keep going on. And how important that slight little message is for so many people, because when all you see is darkness when you're at home, you know, when you're in your own space that you've created and in your mind that you're just not able to get out of, you know, going out and seeing those things. So when you're doing a community, I'm sure, or when you're engaged in a community, you're seeing that life's going on, and you're seeing that there is energy there and that you can benefit from that. So that is really a great thing that you were able to do. I do know that also, to all the listeners, when you do that seven-step program, you know, you'd be willing to share that with us, and I will also put the link on this show page when you have that program together, if that would work for you.
Thank you. Sure. Yeah, I guess one last thing about this seven steps real quickly is that for those of you who are, like, in the midst of, you know, in the middle of grief, and not to say that it, you know, it goes away quickly. I still, you know, deal with, you know, the grief of my husband's loss, and it's, you know, 6 years later, but if you can just practice one step, you know, just any step that resonates to you, maybe gratitude, just one, just take one baby step, and you'll be amazed at the transformation, you know, with time that it will make for you and how it will make a difference in your life. My late husband used to say, if all you do to change your diet is eat brown rice, just eat brown rice. And I like to say, if all you do is practice gratitude, it will really make such a huge difference in your life. There's, I'm sure, one thing that each of you can find that you're grateful for.
And, you know, I can always think of what my mother used to always do. Every morning she used to get up, first thing she did, it could be 4 in the morning, 7 in the morning, no matter what. It could be 32 degrees. It could be 10 degrees below zero. She got up, she opened the curtains, opened the window, at least a little bit or all the way, and that's what she did. So if you could think about that also, you said about the gratitude, open that up. And your darkness from inside your home and your heart has got to go someplace, because you'll feel the sun or you'll feel the cool air or you'll feel the breeze. So just open it up. Just open it up and just think of yourself as open. We say open the windows, open the curtains. Just open something. Right. And, you know, just connect to something else and that will start to dissipate.
Right.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you on the show today. Could you give our listeners some information about your website and how to purchase your book?
Sure. The book is Finding Joy After Loss, My Seven-Step Journey of Transforming Grief into Joy. And it can be purchased on Amazon directly, or you can go to my website, which is findingjoyafterloss.com. Either way, you can purchase the book. I hope the steps that I've spoken about this afternoon seems simple and straightforward, but they're very powerful in their own right, and they'll help you find that connection that I'm sure many of you feel like you've lost, you know, during the grieving process.
We have about 2 minutes left.
Thank you so much for having me.
Can you tell us about how your son is doing?
You know, he is amazing. He's 13 years old. He'll be 14 next month. He's a happy, well-adjusted child. We were very open with him during my husband's illness. I continue to be open with him now. I'm sure with time he's going to have to go through his own form of healing, whatever form that will take. But he's a great kid. He, you know, there were times after my husband's passing that I remember one time specifically, I was at home, it was during my leave, and he looked at me, and I think I was just sitting on the couch doing nothing, and he looked at me and he said, "Mom, I know Daddy died, but you have to live."
Mm-hmm.
And I just do this, I'm like, my 8-year-old son is telling me this, and I just looked at him in amazement, and I just, you know, was in awe that these wise words were coming out of his mouth, saying, "Mom, you have to live again. I know Daddy's gone, but you have to live your life." So he's a pretty special boy. So,
and that is so important.
Great, thank you.
And it's great. It's great to have that too. And I think sometimes some people, if you're younger in age and have had a loss, find it in other kids that are around you. Or if you're an elder person, you know, just having a visit from a grandchild or something may start to bring that out of you too. And, it, you know, because you'll see changes. You'll see life going on, and life still does go on. So kids are really a big help.
They are.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure having you. And do let us know
thank
when
you
have that program together so we can put it on the show page link.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being here.
Great. Have a great day.
All right. You too.
So,
bye-bye.
If anyone would like some more information about Vashon's book, it is on today's show page link, and you will be able to click directly to her website, also be able to click to the link to purchase her book. When she does have her program together, we'll be more than happy to post that link here. So if you want to just check back or follow that archive show, and you will know when that link is up. I know sometimes grief or loss, especially at the holidays, is something hard to talk about, but she has given us some very good tips. Her book is well written out. It is not a big, huge book. It's something you just sit down and say, you know, I'm going to open it up, and I'm whatever lands on my eyes land on, I'm going to do. And you just open it up and say, you know, I see that word gratitude. I'm going to do that today. Or I see this other word, eat today. I'm going to do that today. Or another one, you know, I'm just going to sit down and think, you know, all is going to be okay. So it is very important to be able to just take the little words and the little tips and say, is going to be okay, because it has nothing else to do but be okay. So our life will go on. We just are trying to share tips with you so that when someone does pass on that is very close to us, we don't end up losing ourselves also. So I'd like to thank everyone for being with us today. There will be more shows. There are several shows, in fact, in the archived links on my show pages, and about grief or loss, or about how to transform into joy, or I think in about a few weeks we'll be having funeral planning. We'll be talking about burial things. It's not topics we want to talk about, but those are also topics people are going through, and we don't want to have everyone living in a life of fear about that. Oh, just wait till the event happens, and then you totally collapse or crash. We're just saying, hey, you know, I'm not interested in that. I want to hear more about that. So that's all about our topics on this show. So I'd like to thank everyone for being with us today. It's a pleasure having you. And until tomorrow, have a great day. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and hope to see hear from you tomorrow.